Live by every word. That is the challenge and the opportunity the Bible gives to you. This program examines the actual words that have proceeded out of the mouth of God Himself, so we can use them to guide our paths and live by them in our everyday lives. This is Live by Every Word.
Thanks for joining me today here on Live by Every Word. I'm Dwight Falk. This is Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG, and we're online at kpcg.fm, and we have a live link at thetrumpet.com as well. Have you ever heard of the Days of Unleavened Bread? Well, often, if people hear about these days, they don't really know what they are, or they don't know much about it. It sounds odd to someone who is unfamiliar with it. But did you know that God commands us in the Bible to keep the Days of Unleavened Bread? God tells us to keep them. Let's look at this command in Leviticus 23. If you have a Bible handy, it'd be great to get it out. We can look at some of these passages together. Leviticus 23, verse 1, it says, "And the Eternal spoke unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, Concerning the feasts of the Eternal, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, even these are my feasts." So notice who's speaking here. This is the Eternal. And he says, these are my feasts. These are mine. These are God's feasts. They are not designed by man. It wasn't an idea that Moses came up with or any other human being. These are God's feasts. And he says here that they shall be proclaimed to be holy convocations, and they are his feasts. Verse 6, it says, "On the 15th day of the same month is the feast of unleavened bread unto the Eternal. 7 days you must eat unleavened bread." Well, that's where the name for the festival comes from. Verse 7, "In the first day you shall have an holy convocation. You shall do no servile work therein. But you shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Eternal 7 days. In the 7th day is an holy convocation. You shall do no servile work therein." So we have two holy convocations during this time period, these Days of Unleavened Bread. Notice this quote. This is from the Herbert W. Armstrong College Bible Correspondence Course, Lesson 30. This is a free correspondence course. Please sign up for it if you haven't already. You can do that at thetrumpet.com. It says, "Both the 15th and the 21st are special Sabbaths, annual holy convocations, days of rest from regular work, though cooking is permitted." You can look at Exodus 12 and verse 16. It says, "Ordinary work may be done on the intervening days, except on the weekly Sabbath. A holy convocation is a commanded religious assembly, commanded by God Almighty Himself." And that's so important to remember as we consider this topic. This is what God says to do. It says, "Today, members of God's church assemble on the annual Sabbath, much as they do on the weekly Sabbath." And that's talked about in Leviticus 23 and verse 3. "Those few who live too far away from other members to attend weekly Sabbath services are often able to meet with God's Spirit-begotten children on these annual Sabbaths. God's ministers use these opportunities to explain more about the meaning of God's festivals and His master plan." So we read here that God commands that we keep these Days of Unleavened Bread, but some will look at these plain commands and ask, but wasn't that just for ancient Israel? Do we still have to keep these days today? And that's a fair question, and the Bible gives us an answer. Let's take a look at that. Let's notice Luke 2, and we'll read verses 41 through 43. Here we get an example from the New Testament, and here's what Jesus Christ did. Verse 41, it says, "Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child that Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it." So as a child, Jesus Christ kept the Passover and the Days of Unleavened Bread. It says the Passover here, the Feast of the Passover. It includes these Days of Unleavened Bread that came right after the Passover. Because verse 43 there, it says, and when they had fulfilled the days, so it was more than a day, it was the days of unleavened bread as well, and Christ kept that. So that was his example. And then even if you look further in his life, when he was about to be taken and crucified, they were looking for him at the feast because they knew he would be there. Notice Acts 20 and verse 6. Here's an example from Paul. It says, and we sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread and came unto them to Troas in 5 days, where we abode 7 days. So this is an event that was more than 20 years after the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. And Paul was the apostle to the Gentiles. And here he is writing about the days of unleavened bread. Again, from lesson 30 of the correspondence course, it says, Paul and his companions plainly had observed the days of unleavened bread at Philippi. This feast was still being kept by God's church. It was not abolished at Christ's death. God would not have inspired this reference to the days of unleavened bread if, in his sight, his festivals had ceased to exist. So you go and look in the New Testament here and you see these different examples of the days of unleavened bread. And Paul here is keeping these days. He's writing about it. Now, we get even further instruction from Paul about these days of unleavened bread. Notice 1 Corinthians 5, verses 7 through 8. And again, this is after Jesus Christ has been crucified and resurrected. And here's the New Testament church. What are they doing? What is Paul telling them to do? 1 Corinthians 5, verses 7 through 8. He says, purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump as you are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Keep the feast. New Testament, talking to the church. Again, lesson 30 of the correspondence course says the Apostle Paul was telling the Corinthian church members to put out spiritual leaven, just as they had already put out all physical leaven in preparation for this festival. They were to keep the feast not only with unleavened bread, but also with the spiritually unleavened attitude of righteousness, sincerity, and truth. See, there's even more depth to these holy days now than what ancient Israel understood. The church understands the spiritual depth of these days, and Paul was giving instruction along those lines. The quote continues and says, this is a direct command from God's apostle to New Testament Christians to observe the days of unleavened bread. Because, as he said, Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us, we must also keep the days of unleavened bread, which pictures our putting the leaven of sin out of our lives. Pretty direct command. We saw God command these days there in Leviticus 23, and then here in, we saw that Christ kept these days. And then after he was crucified and resurrected, we see the New Testament church is keeping the days of unleavened bread. It's consistent. It's continual. Now let's notice a scripture that is considered somewhat controversial, and there's a lot of misunderstanding about it, and this is a counterpoint that people might bring up when talking about the need to keep the days of unleavened bread. And it's in Colossians 2 and verses 14 through 17. Again, this is Paul. And notice what he writes. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Let no man therefore judge you in meat, or in drink, or in respect of an holy day, or of the new moon, or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. Or as it should read, but the body of Christ. Is not a word that should be there. Which are a shadow of things to come, but the body of Christ. Okay, so what does that mean? Again, I'll give you a quote here from Lesson 30 of the Correspondence Course. It says, these Colossians were Gentile converts living in a Gentile city. They had previously known nothing of God and his holy days. Now, however, they had become obedient Christians, and unless the ministers of the Church of God had taught them to observe the holy days, they would never have been judged by their pagan relatives and neighbors for doing so. These people had been, again, you know, living like the people around them and having, you know, keeping these pagan festivals that they were involved in. But then they made a change and they start keeping the holy days. They start keeping the days of unleavened bread. And their family and their neighbors are saying, what are you doing? You know, they're being critical of them. The quote continues. It says, Paul did not say that Christians should not observe God's holy days. He merely said that Christians should not let anyone judge them for observing these days, you know, and be critical and say, well, why are you doing that? And that type of thing. Don't let people, you know, push you around in that way. God commands it. That's what we need to be looking at. It says, nevertheless, some have connected this reference to God's holy days and Sabbaths with a misinterpretation of verse 14, claiming that all of God's laws, festivals, holy days, and Sabbaths were nailed to the cross. And of course, the reason people say that is they don't want to keep God's Sabbaths, holy days, or his laws. They don't want to keep it. So it's easier to say, well, that's all done away. And then they can just do whatever they want. And in most cases, that would be to go and keep pagan festivals, just like was happening for some at this time here that we're reading about. So the question then is, okay, well, what was nailed to the cross? What are we talking about here? What does Paul mean? Well, again, from the Correspondence Course, it says, what is the handwriting of ordinances? You know, we just read about that. Verse 14 there in Colossians 2, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. So what is the handwriting of ordinances? Well, handwriting, it says, is translated from the Greek charographon, which means a handwritten note of debt. The Revised Standard Version makes this verse clearer. It says, having canceled the bond which stood against us with its legal demands, this he set aside, nailing it to the cross. A note of debt, it says, or guilt, was incurred by the Colossians, as well as all men, as a result of breaking God's law by following human ordinances and traditions. It says, by Christ's sacrifice, that note of indebtedness that legally demanded death was set aside. That is what was abolished, not God's laws and holy days. The note of sinful guilt was against us. Until Christ lifted its penalty from us, his crucifixion allows us to be forgiven of those sins. And of course, we've got to repent to be forgiven. We can't just continue on in it. Finally, it says, so what do these verses show us when we understand the context? The Christians at Colossae were being criticized by their pagan relatives and neighbors for violating their ascetic customs, which included the observance of pagan holidays. The Christians ate meat the pagans prohibited, drank what they did not allow, and observed God's weekly Sabbath and annual holy days. The new moons, the observation of which was then made necessary by the Jewish authorities over the calendar, determined the correct dates for God's festivals. And it's not necessary to observe new moons today because the Hebrew calendar has been authoritatively fixed worldwide and published in advance. So that's an important note there in terms of understanding this as well. We have a calendar that you can get at thetrumpet.com for free there, too, to see when the holy days are. It says, Paul told the Colossians to ignore the criticisms and continue in their Christian conduct just as they had been taught by the church. Right? We read that. It says, don't let anybody judge you. Don't let them judge you in respect of a holy day or a new moon or the Sabbath days or meat or drink, you know. Don't let these people judge you based upon their thinking. It says, but the body of Christ. And so when we're looking for understanding about what dates to keep, we have to look to what's taught by God's true church, We have to look and see, okay, well, what does the Bible say? What does the church do? What did Paul teach the church? Well, he taught them to keep the holy days, keep the days of unleavened bread. God commands us to keep his feasts, including the days of unleavened bread. And the reason that many have not heard of these days or don't know much about them is because they're not being taught as they should be. Outside of God's church, these days are not taught. They're not being taught as they should be, but God commands them. We have a free booklet that explains a lot about the days of unleavened bread and all of God's holy days. It's called Pagan Holidays or God's Holy Days Which, and that's free at thetrumpet.com. It's important to know what should we keep. Keep the pagan holidays or God's holy days. You need to study into that and make sure that you are learning and understanding about the difference between the two and see what God says about what days we should be keeping. That's all the time we have for today on this edition of Live By Every Word. I'm Dwight Falk. Thank you for spending some of your time with me today. And until next time, let's all strive to more perfectly live by every word of God.
You've been listening to Live By Every Word on Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG and online at kpcg.fm and thetrumpet.com.